Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Mem Beis. We are starting today on towards the top of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We are at the two dots at the very top of the Amud. The Gemara is discussing the Mishnah Maiso Badak Ma Ben Chakir Sle Bedika. So the Mishnah gives us the simple question, a simple question with a necessary answer, and that is, what's the difference between Chakirs and Bedikas? So the you remember back in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah taught us that there were seven chakiras. Seven chakiras really comes down to two questions: when and where. When did the crime take place, and where did the crime take place? That results in seven questions because we go through for the when, we just break it down into different steps. Which Shemitah cycle did it take place? What year? What month? What date? What day? What hour? But when reduced, it really comes down to a question of when did it happen, and it also, where did it happen? And the Mishnah then taught us the difference between a chakir and a bedika. Now, bedika are just all the other questions that we're going to ask, questions which are extraordinarily important. What was the crime? What was the crime? What was the instrument that was used for the crime, et cetera, et cetera. So what is the difference between them? So says the Mishnah that an answer of I don't know when it comes to chakir is an unacceptable answer, meaning we're just going to dismiss the testimony. That's it. Done. As opposed to bedika, where if one or two of the witnesses say, I don't know for a bedika, so that does not end the case, so we don't dismiss the case, we're still going to go on. So, my afilu shnaim omrim. Now, the language of the Mishnah is a little bit strange because it says if one of them say, I don't know, or if two of them say, I don't know, so the Mishnah taught us that for a bedika, that's okay. The Gemara says, what does that language of the Mishnah mean when it says, afilu shnaim, even if two of them say? So Pshita, the Gemara says it's obvious. And the obvious nature of this is as follows. Look, clearly an I don't know is an acceptable answer, because if one of them said I don't know, that's we'll let it go. Now, it can't be that it's because one said I don't know and the other one says, oh, I do know. Meaning because we know we're not going to convict anybody based on the testimony of one witness. So once we've established that one I don't know answer is an acceptable answer for a bedika, two I don't know answers is just as acceptable. So the Gemara basically now says, so why would the Mishnah then have to carry this through and say, well, if it's two I don't knows, that's also good. The Gemara says, that's obvious. So, ki amar echad en yodeh edusam kayemes, ki amri beitrei nami edusam kayemes. So here the Gemara articulates the question, what's the difference between one I don't know and two I don't knows, and why would the Mishnah have to spell them both out? So to this, the Gemara is going to give two approaches. Approach number one, amar evsheshes areshakai, v'hachi kamar. So Rav Sheshes says that what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to tweak the Mishnah just a little bit. And when the Mishnah says even two, it's not going on the case of bedika, but rather it's going back up to the chakiras of the Mishnah. Now, bechakiras afilu shnayim omrim yadanu ve'echad amay en yadei do some betela. And here we're going to say a chiddush in the Mishnah. Now, the truth of the matter is that we did the Mishnah 2 days ago in the Daf. We already said this back in the Mishnah because Rashi said this back in the Mishnah. But now we're hearing it inside of the Gemara. Let's imagine now a scenario where I have three witnesses. Now, I don't need three, but I have three. And right, it happens to be the three people saw it. To the question of when and where it happened, two of them answered the question successfully, right? Two of the witnesses were able to say it happened here and on this and on this date. And then the third witness says, I don't know. And he's giving an I don't know to one of the chakiras. Now, what are we going to do with that I don't know? We are going to throw him out, meaning the one who said I don't know. Not only are we throwing him out, we're throwing the whole case out. Meaning that once you have a group of witnesses, regardless of what the number is, if one of them cannot successfully answer the chakira, they're all thrown out. And why? Keman ki Rabbi Akiva demaki shloshe l'shnayim. Because this takes us to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. The Shita of Rabbi Akiva we already seen a couple of times. We're going to see this in the Gemara in Makos, in the Mishnah Makos. And that is Rabbi Akiva says that once you have a group, so the group, it's all for one and one for all. And when you have a group of witnesses, if one of them is not hazamable, okay, a made up word, but in the context of our Gemara, hopefully you know what that means. If one of them is not hazamable, they all now are no longer subject to being kasher eidim. And you throw everybody out. Now that's a tremendous chiddush, but that's the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, and that's what our Mishnah is describing. Now this Yeah, that's correct. But Rabbi Kiva says once three come in, so that's it. Meaning when three are coming in, they are now a kat eidim. They're a group of eidim, and they're treated as a unit. Now, this pshat in the Mishnah is good, but it's difficult because, quite frankly, what we're doing is we're taking a line of the Mishnah and we're working it backwards to an earlier point in the Mishnah. So, Amarav of Ahai Dusan Kayemis Kitani, and it doesn't fit the language of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah is describing where, if the two say, I don't know, so if the one or the two say, I don't know, a Dusan Kayemis, the Adis is good. Meaning the way that Rav Chista explained our Mishnah, sorry, not Rav Chista, the way that Rav Sheshes explained our Mishnah is we're talking about a failure of testimony. But that's not what the Mishnah is describing. The Mishnah is describing where it's not a failure of testimony, it's Kayemis, it's good. So Alam Rav, so now the Gemara is going to give a second pshat in the Mishnah, and that is as follows. Hachi Kamar. Afilu b'chakir shnayim omrim yadun v'echad omrim eni yodei dusan kayemes. Ah, exactly the opposite. What the Mishnah means is that if I have three witnesses, two of them say, I know when it happened, and I know where it happened, and one of them say, I don't know. So the pshat in our Mishnah, dusan kayemes, means under those circumstances is good. And kaman d'lo k'Rabbi Akiva. Now to say this pshat in the Mishnah, it means that our Mishnah is rejecting the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that as long as I have two of the witnesses who are able to successfully answer the questions of when and where, so this is now Edus, even though the third member of the Edim is unable to answer the question when and where, but if you don't subscribe to Rabbi Akiva, so then we could segment and we could separate the third from the first two. Okay. Also, by the way, parenthetically, also not a simple pshat in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah, again, it's going, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that this was going on the Bedikas, not on the Chakirs, but still, this is how Rava understands it. Rav Kana, Rav Safa, Tanu Sanhedrin, Bei Rabba. Rav Kana and Rav Safa were learning the Masechta of Sanhedrin, and they were learning it in the Yeshiva of Rabba, Bei Rabba. Now, Rashi says it doesn't have to be literally understood as Rabba. Historically, it may be challenging, but it just simply means that they were learning it with a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So, Pagaru Rami Barchama Amarluhu Mayam Risa Baba Sanhedrin Debe Rabba. So, they encounter Rami Barchama. Rami Barchama says, look, you learned Sanhedrin, you learned it with an Adam Gadol. Like, please share. Like, tell me something you learned in Masechta Sanhedrin. So, Amarle Umay Amrina Baba Sanhedrin Gredasa. Even if we were not learning it with an Adam Gadol, meaning just a simple question. Umay Kashalach. So what's difficult for you? So, Amarle. Or Amalahu, Mehadiktani, Ma Bei Chakir Sa Bedikos, Chakir Sa Echad Omer Eini Yodea, Edusam Betela. Bedikos Echad Omer Echad Eini Yodea, Ve'afilu Shnaim Omerim In Anu Yodim, Edusam Kayemes. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the difference, I'll tell you what's difficult to us. Again, let's go back to our mission, let's go back to the question of I don't know. By a Chakira, I don't know is a deal breaker. One person says, I don't know, that's it. And like we just said, according to Rabbi Kiva, even if there are three witnesses and one say, I don't know, that's it. It's a dismissal of the case. But in the case where there are two witnesses, if one or two of them say, I don't know, to a chakira, dismissal, case is now over. If, however, by a bedika, one or two of them say, I don't know, that's okay. That's fine. That's acceptable. And michti, and Rami Bar Chama now asks these amarayim, I don't understand. Idvi'idu daraisahi. Asking the witnesses questions about the case. Whether you're going to say it's a chakir, whether you're going to say it's a bedika, the requirement to ask questions on the witnesses is a din d'oraisa. Rashi points out, the Torah says, we just read it in last week's parsha, v'darash v'chakarta v'had d'oraisa k'din nila'el, nachon she'e nachon echad omer kel shchorim v'chule, d'ayna bedikos, nachon she'e divrei mechuvanim. We just learned in yesterday's daf. From the word nachon, it means that there has to be testimony, they have to coordinate, we have to get a consistent report from those two witnesses of the account that occurred. So both the chakira, the when and where question, and the bedikas, the basic questions to the crime itself, they're both min ha-Torah. So why is an I don't know answer by chakiras a deal breaker? And why is an I don't know answer by bedikas not a deal breaker? So maishan chakiras and maishan bedikas. So it's a fantastic question. It's such a simple question, such a fantastic question. Now, if you've been around in the Masechta long enough, in Sanhedrin, so you already know the answer. But we've only discussed the answer peripherally. This is the Gemara that discusses the answer head-on. Amalei hachi hashta. The Gemara says, I'll tell you the basic, most fundamental difference between a chakir and a bedika. B'chakir samar echad eni yodei edus and betela dehavilei edus yeto yechol azima. Look, when it comes to a chakira, if one of the witnesses is unable to answer the questions of when and where, so now no longer is he hazamable. Is he open and eligible to become an aid zomim? And once he's no longer an Eid Zomim, once he can't become an Eid Zomim, so at that point in time, it's not Eidus. Eidus, by its very definition, means you have to be vulnerable. If you don't make yourself vulnerable, you're not an Eid. Okay? That's just simply the rules of the game, if you will. So, if you can't say when and where it happened, so you can't have now a second pair of witnesses come and say, well, you weren't there at the time. You were with us at the time. So only with the questions of when and where do you make yourself vulnerable for Hazama, then your Eidus is Eidus. Bedikos, Echad Omer, Eini Yodea, Eidus and Kayemis. Eidus Shatel Yechol Azimahu. However, when it comes to Bedika question, what clothing was he wearing? I don't know. He's still vulnerable, meaning it's still eligible for Hazama, because he already established when and where. So in other words, the big difference between a chakira and a bedika is that an inability to answer a chakira question means you're not vulnerable and you do not become eligible for a zama. Therefore, it's not edus. When it comes to bedika, look, we'd love the information and we'd love it if they coordinated with one another, but failure to answer the question and I don't know answer is acceptable because he's still open to a zama. So Amar lo yach, Amritzaba. So, Rami Bar Chama says back to the Amoraim, that was fantastic. Meaning what you just gave to me was fantastic. Meaning even without the Adam Gadol, just that Yisod alone, that was worth it. So I'm related. So they say back to Rami Bar Chama, Mitivusa Damar Amina Batuva, Minizusa Damar Lo Amina Ba Velo Chada. So just basically, Gemara ends off this discussion with a simple life lesson. You know, you were very nice to us. Meaning, you smiled at us. You were positive to us, so therefore we responded positively. If you were negative to us and you asked us in a negative fashion, we probably wouldn't have given you such a good answer. So, in other words, how to encourage somebody to give a good answer? Act favorably to the person. Okay, short life lesson before the Gemara ends off that discussion. Okay, Adkan takes us to the end of the section Echad Omer. We're now on to the next section of the Mishnah. Yes. Wait. Right to which question? Chakirs or bedikas? So no. Right. According to Rabbi Akiva, all five of them have to answer the question of chakira correctly. Now, when I say correctly, even an I don't know is unacceptable. Meaning they all have to be positively identifying when and where it happened. And if all five of them don't, so according to Rabbi Akiva, we throw out the case.
But if two of them do, but three of them don't.
We throw out the case.
And that's what we go by.
Yeah. Okay.
There may be other cat coming.
For this particular cat, that's it. That's correct. Yes. Echad Omer Ad Kama. Now, again, just as a brief introduction, which we've already done already a number of times, but necessitate the understanding of this Gemara, we know when Rosh Chodesh is, we know when Rosh Chodesh was, although last week I failed to identify correctly because, you know, my head's somewhere else. But in other words, we have a calendar and we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. But back in the good old days, so Rosh Chodesh was done on the fly. Witnesses would come into Beis Din and say they saw the new moon and Beis Din would establish Rosh Chodesh. Now, there are only 2 days which can serve as candidates for Rosh Chodesh. It's either going to be the 30th or the 31st day of the month. But one of those 2 days is going to serve as Rosh Chodesh. So now when you have in that month a crime occurring sometime in the beginning of the month, and the witness is coming into the courtroom and saying, one witness says it happened the second month, and the second one said it happened the third of the month, that is an acceptable error. Because one of them knew when Rosh Chodesh was and one didn't. And again, back then, that's perfectly understandable. So a one-day discrepancy that exists between two witnesses in terms of the date of the month is an allowable error, which the Mishnah said, we'll move on. In other words, we can go forward with the case. Basically, what the Gemara now wonders is as follows. At a certain point in the month, isn't everyone going to be corrected? Meaning, the Mishnah's example was day two and day three. That's the beginning of the month. So I could totally understand how in the beginning of the month, one knew or one didn't know. But at a certain point in time, is there going to be a correction? Can we assume now that at the end of the month, everybody knows when Rosh Chodesh was? So that's the Gemara's discussion. The Gemara starts off with Ad Kama. Question. How far into the month are we going to allow this one-day error of the date? Amar of Acher Bar Chanina, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan. Now that name, or that string of names, hang on to that. That is going to come up once, twice, three, four times. Right? I found in today's daf that string of names is coming up four times, and it's gonna link all the discussions together because some of the discussions in the Gemara are gonna be somewhat choppy, but it's this particular Masora that we're gonna hear again and again. So the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Yochanan, ad rubo shel chodesh. You'll have to the majority of the month. Meaning, a month is typically 30 days, 29 days, okay, however you want to say it. But, in other words, halfway through the month, more than halfway through the month, let's call it day 16. Okay. So, by that point in time, everyone should be corrected. So, if you are now towards the end of the month, Rashi gives the example of day 20 and day 21. Right, one witness comes and says it occurred on day 20. The other witness says it occurs on day 21. No longer an allowable error. Everybody at this point in the month should have known what day was Rosh Chodesh. Word would have gotten around at that point in time. So, Amar Rava Afanami Tanina. Rava says, now look, you read the Mishnah, it actually reads into the Mishnah. And look, the Mishnah says, Echad Amar B'Shoshav Echad Amar B'Hei, Edusim B'Teila. Mishnah says that if one witness says three and the other one says five, no good. Now, Nema, Sheze Yodeb, I'm sorry, Ve'amai, Nema Sheze Yodeb Shnei Yiburim, Ve'zeinu Yodeb Shnei Yiburim. Now, the Gemara says, now, as much as we said that the mistake could be made in terms of which Rosh Chodesh this month was, why can't we make the following argument? You know, there's a guy who had his head in the clouds or head in the sand for 2 months straight. And he didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was 2 months straight. And again, back then, I can make an argument that such was the case. Rosh Chodesh was not on the calendar. It was established by Beis Din. Beis Din made the announcement. But can we say that for two straight Rosh Chodeshes, the person didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was? So that after 2 months, he could be 2 days off, somebody else. And the Mishnah says, no. No, it can't be. Why? So, El Alav Mishum Deberu Bayada. So presumably the reason why is because as we get through any given month, as we pass the majority of any given month, we are assuming that everyone's mistake is going to be corrected in terms of when Rosh Chodesh was. And that's why we'll never allow a two-day discrepancy, because we assume that by the end of the month, everyone's corrected. So the Gemara says, L'olam em lecha beruba name lo yada, uvishipur yada. So the Gemara says, I can give you a different argument, meaning, what exactly is the mistake of the person who is off by a day? So the Gemara now entertains another possibility, and that is the shofar. Meaning that when they establish Rosh Chodesh, when Beis Din establishes what Rosh Chodesh is, so they blow the shofar. And that is the herald that declares exactly which day was Rosh Chodesh. Now, did everyone hear the shofar? Some did, some didn't. So the Gemara says, B'chad Shippur Amar Detai, B'trei Shippur Lo Amar Detai. And the Gemara now makes a new argument. It's similar, but it's different. Maybe I'll make the following argument. This guy heard the shofar blown. This guy did not hear the shofar blown. So that means now for this month, they're off. But what the Gemara says, but here's what I will not entertain. I will not entertain that a person is going to miss two shofars in a row. Meaning two announcements, two proclamations of Rosh Chodesh in a row, a person is not going to make that kind of mistake. Now, if the issue is the shofar and the hearing of the shofar, so if this is the argument that you're following, that means now that the mistake is only going to be corrected when? Only at the beginning of the next Rosh Chodesh. This is going to be slightly different than the previous approach. The previous approach was is that as we get through the majority of the month, everyone's position is going to be correct in terms of what Rosh Chodesh is. In this argument of the Gemara, in Rava's argument of the Gemara, we can now say that no, that really the error is going to continue all the way to the end of the month. When is it going to be corrected? The next Rosh Chodesh, when they announced it with the blowing of the shofar, that's when it's going to be corrected. So the real subtle difference now between the first and second approach of the Gemara is, when are people's positions of Rosh Chodesh going to be corrected? Through the majority of the month, that's the first approach, or only when it's the next Rosh Chodesh and they blow the shofar. Okay. Next. Amar v'acha brachinina, Amar v'asi, Amar v'yochanan. Okay, that's number two. I told you, that string of names comes up at least four times in today's daf. So here we are now with the second string. And here now, the Gemara is going to segue into a wonderful discussion about Kiddush Levana. There's a mitzvah every month as we see the new moon. Okay, the new moon came out last week. And there's a mitzvah to be Mekadosh HaChodesh. We see the new month and we make a bracha on the new moon that we see. So, Gemara over here starts the discussion off with the following question. Ad kama mevarchin al HaChodesh. The easiest way to explain the Gemara is that we are now talking about the deadline. What is the deadline in terms of benching the new moon, of making a bracha upon seeing of the new moon? So, mevarchin al chodesh ad shetismale pigimasa. So the Gemara makes a very firm declarative statement, which is, it is until the point where the moon fills in. Okay. And this is a statement given to us by Rabbi Yochanan. Vikama. Now, until the moon fills in, until what point in the month is that? Does that go to? So, Amar of Yaakov Ba'idi, Amar of Yehuda, at Shiva, Naradai, Amar at Shisha Asar. So, the Gemara here gives us two opinions. One is that it goes until the 7th of the month, and the other opinion is that it goes until the 16th of the month. Vitarvayhu, Kirav Yochanan Svirulahu. Now, they both agree with Rav Yochanan, meaning Rav Yochanan says that you make the bracha of Kiddush Lavana until the point where the moon fills in. And even though there are two opinions in the Gemara, they really are both going like Rav Yochanan. We are on the very top of them, Beis Amid Aleph. Halamechze ki Yisra, halamechze ki Nafya. Because look, when we're saying the filling in the moon, how does the moon start off looking at in its new state? It's a crescent. And so, is it the pshat that we're looking for the crescent to fill in, so that we're looking for the semicircle? Or are we looking for the entire moon to fill in? And that would, of course, be the full circle. So how long does it take into the month to get to the semicircle? 7 days. How long does it get to the full circle? 16 days. To 16 meaning halfway through the month. So the Gemara says, these are the two opinions expressed over here. So, in terms of the deadline of St. Kiddush Levana in any given month, so the Gemara here records two opinions, and we follow like Naradai, which means that we go until the 16th of the month. A number of things to take into consideration. This is halach lamaisa, very basic halach. So, first of all, what the Gemara does not address is, when's your first opportunity that you can say Kiddush Levana? The Gemara does not address that question. So, presumably, it's when you first see the new moon. Meaning, right, we just saw the new moon, the new moon presented itself sometime last week, right? A day or two after the Molad, which, if time permits, I'll talk more about it, but probably not. But, you know, a day or two after the Molad is when you're going to see the moon in its first shot. And so, presumably, the first time you see the new moon, you start off with Kiddush Levana. So here, however, there is a difference in minhagim between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Start with the Ashkenazim. So Ashkenazim have a minhag, halacha. The Mishnah Berurah says that we don't say Kiddush Levana until day 3 of the month. And even when we say day 3, it's day 3 from the Molad. Right, from the Molad. So, in other words, we need to see a significant amount. Interesting, though, Minhag Sfard is not to say Kiddush Levana, talking about the beginning, not the end, not to say it until 7 days into the new month. Now, it's interesting. Some suggest that the Minhag amongst the Sfardim is actually encrypted in the Gemara. Because if you go back to the Gemara and you look at the Gemara, Vikama, the Gemara has two opinions. Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rav Yehuda at Shiva, Naradai Amar at Shisha Asar. And some suggest that what the Gemara is doing is actually giving you the parameter of when to say Kiddush Levana from day 7 to day 16. Admittedly, that's not the simplest way to read the Gemara, not, but you could read the Gemara that way, and that may explain the Minhag Sfard, which is that you only start the first opportunity is day 7, last opportunity is day 16. Okay, so in terms of the deadline, the Gemara has a machlokas. In terms of the starting point, a difference of minhagim between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Oh, they right. I try to read into the Gemara, but yes, it's not the simple reading of the Gemara is that 7 is the deadline, not the opening opportunity. Okay, Amr le Rav Acham Idifta le Ravina v'livracha tov v'meitiv. Now, the way Rashi understands it like this. Now, we're going to go back to the simple way of saying the Gemara the way I first presented it. When's the deadline of St. Kiddush Levana? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda says day 7, Naradai says day 16. The Gemara now is asking a question against Rav Yehuda. This is how Rashi presents the Gemara. Therefore, this is how I'm presenting the Gemara. So, if the deadline goes until day 7, so now it's an interesting phenomenon. Because now from day 7 to the midpoint of the month, the moon is still growing. It's now going from semicircle to full circle. And Rav Yehuda says it's too late to make the bracha of Mechadish Chadashim. You can't bench on the new moon. But it's getting bigger. And getting bigger means more light. And that's generating more illumination for everybody. Right? The middle of the month, of a lunar month, is a good time to go out at night. Yet you could see, there's light. So the Gemara now makes a suggestion. So, you no longer can make a bracha mechash chadashim, but at least you're able to make a bracha vatov ametiv. It's good. It's good for you. It's good for other people. It's good. So make the bracha vatov ametiv. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If you're right about hatov ametiv, let me ask you a simple question. Would you make a bracha of dain ha'emes as the moon is waning? So you're making the argument that when it waxes, hatov ametiv. So when it wanes, a dain ha'emes. So now there's a certain absurdity to that, which the Gemara is going to articulate what the absurdity is, but you wouldn't do that. So the Gemara's response is, v'levechen l'tavayu. Well, why not? Meaning, let's uncover the reason why it is, I'm not going to make a tov ametiv, I'm not going to make a dain ha'emes. So kevin da'ayinu orchel ha'mevarchinan. So the Gemara says, predictability. The reason why we're not going to be making brachas a tov ametiv and dain ha'emes is because orche. This is the nature of the world. Now, the truth of the matter is, so is dying. And yet, when somebody dies, we make a bracha of dain ha'emes. But there, it is the way of the world, but it's unpredictable. We don't know when the person's going to die. But over here, the pattern of the moon, the cycle of the moon, it's perfectly predictable. It's pretty reliable also, which, by the way, is the big theme of the bracha, which the Gemara is going to give us the nusach bracha in just a moment. So the moon is predictable and reliable. So when something is predictable like that, it's not appropriate to make the bracha zatov ha'metiv and dain ha'emes when you know it's going to happen. Okay. Okay, count it again. Same string. When you make the bracha of Kiddush Levana bizmano in its proper time, so it's like having an encounter with Shechina. Emphasis on the word zeh in both psukim. In other words, and zeh is a representation, it's a manifestation of Shechina. So by seeing the Kiddush Levana and by benching it in its appropriate time is like Shechina. Is like a some sort of awareness of Shechina. And Tandebe Revi Shmuel, Malay Zachli Sola Ella Akbil Paneavim Shabashamaim Kol Chodesh VeChodesh Dayam. If the Jewish people were only having this kind of encounter one time a month, sufficient. Amar Abai Hilkach Nemer Nemuhumar. Abai says, now that we have understand the significance of Kiddush Levana, it is like Shechina, it's like an encounter with Shechina, so therefore the proper way to say it is Muhumar, you should be standing when you make the bracha. Now these Gemaras should sound familiar. They are put into the Nusach of Kiddush Levana, all these Gemaras. Merema Marzucha, when they would make the bracha on Kiddush Levana, they would be mekatfe. Now, mekatfe, generally speaking, means, Rashi doesn't say anything over here, but generally speaking, mekatfe means that they'd be leaning on each other. So the simplest way to read the Gemara is that they were older, and they had a hard time getting out, but they got out. In other words, Kiddush Levana is important, it's significant, it's Kabbalah Shechina, so they got out, and they leaned on each other when they would make the bracha. Could be in this context, mekatfe also can mean that they were dancing with one another. There's a minhag to dance with Kiddush Levana. That could be the pshat in the Gemara, although admittedly, Rashi's silent on exactly what it means over here. So what exactly is a nusach bracha? So Rav Acha reports to Rav Ashi that in Eretz Yisrael, the bracha they would make is baruch mechadesh chadashim, which presumably means it would be a very short bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Mechadesh Chadashim, and that be it. So Amar Lei Hayne Sheididan Nami Mevarchei. So he says in response, what do you mean? Our women could make such a bracha. Back then, women did not have an education, and so it was normal, it was acceptable back then, that women were not expected to know. And if it was such a short bracha, so the women could make that bracha, and basically saying it's not that short a bracha, it's a longer bracha. Elikad Rav Yehuda Dam Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara gives us now a different version of what the Nusach HaBracha is, and this is one of those rare occasions, the Gemara does this, but it's not often, this is one of those rare occasions where the Gemara actually gives us the Nusach HaBracha. Meaning, you'll make the observation, all you have to do is just go through Shas, that's all. But you'll make the observation that, like, the Gemara doesn't go through the Nusach of Shmon Esrei. Meaning, Shmon Esrei existed in the time of the Gemara. Shmon Esrei was put together by Anshe Knesset HaGedola, and that was at the beginning of Bayis Sheni. But the Gemara never goes through the Nusach of Shmoneh Esrei, and probably the simplest reason why is because they all knew it, meaning it was part of the, it was done daily, three times a day, sometimes four, sometimes five. So they all knew it. The Gemara didn't have to go through it, but you'll see though, on occasion the Gemara actually takes us through a nusach habracha. So here's one of those occasions, and here the Gemara goes step by step the bracha, and you know the Gemara just assumes you know bracha Hashem l'kinu malcholam. Asher b'ma'amaro bara shechakim, with his words he created the heaven, the celestial bodies. Uberuch piv kol tzva'am chokuz man asan lahem sheli shenu tafkidam, and they all have a job to do at its prescribed time. Sasim usmechem lasos ritzon konam, they are happy to do the will of their creator. Po'ale emes. Now there are two girsaos of the bracha in our Gemara. The way it's recorded in our Gemara, it's po'ale emes, and it's talking about the actual celestial bodies themselves. They are workers of truth. They're honest workers. Shepulasan emes. V'lalavama v'ulalavana amar shetis chadesh. And he told the moon, you have to renew. Meaning, at one point in time, they were the same size. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the moon, you're going to minimize, you're going to renew, you're going to minimize, you're going to renew. Ateres tiferes lamuse vatan. She'im asidim lehis chadesh kemosa ulafa'er liyotram. And they are, and the moon is to renew just like a baby born into this world, renewed, and the kamoso lafairly asram hashem kavod machuso, and they're going to provide splendor for the Creator. Berachat Hashem echadish kad Hashem, and that is the nusach habracha for Kiddush Levana. Okay, and that's it. Meaning those are the gemaras that we have in terms of Kiddush Levana. Much to discuss over here. I'm not going to discuss it in terms of Kiddush Levana, women in Kiddush Levana, and many other aspects of Kiddush Levana, which I'm going to pass on right now for time consideration. The halachas kiddush levana, it's in the Mishnah Berurah, it's in the fourth section. Sorry, I'm not answering your question directly. In the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shulchan Aruch, it's in the fourth section. It's towards the end. It's right by the section of Rosh Chodesh. But in the Rambam, so off the top, I mean, you can look on the side over here. But okay, ki b'sach b'los ta'asalach mechama. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Mishlei. And Amrav Achav, Rabbi Chanina, Amrav Asi, Amrav Yochanan. Okay, you'll knock that down as number four. Fourth time we have the string of Amoraim, and again that's why it goes in our Gemara over here. B'mi Atamosi Melchamah Shel Torah. The Pasuk in Mishlei is talking about some sort of Melchamah, some sort of war. The Gemara understands it's Melchamah Shel Torah, meaning somebody who's able to debate and deliberate in Torah. So who's good at it? B'mi Sheyesh Biado Chavlo Shel Mishnah. Somebody who knows Mishnayos. Meaning you will be much better in terms of being able to engage in a discussion in Torah when you know your Mishnayos. So in other words, you have Bekiyos. You have the breadth of knowledge. So Rashi over here writes, I want to read the Rashi inside. It's both intuitive and it's very informative. So Rashi writes, Mechamta Shel Torah, Har Yaseh V'Lamod Al Burya V'Al Ikra, in terms of ruling in the Torah, to understand the depth of the Torah, to understand the fundamental principles of the Torah. Lo ka adam ha-mefuul pal mechudad bal svara, u bal svara. Not like somebody who's very sharp, can give excellent analysis, but v'lo laman mishayos. But quite frankly, he doesn't have breadth of knowledge. U b'raisos harbe ki me'echen yidgal ha-asod. And so now when he's giving a svara, but he's not grounded in mishayos, so where's the svara coming from? It's not coming from any background information. But if somebody has breadth of knowledge of Mishnayos, so Rashi writes that if there's something that's troubling him over here, so he could use his knowledge of Mishnayos elsewhere and apply it over here. If there's contradiction amongst Gemaras, so again, he'll use his breadth of knowledge of Mishnayos in order to resolve those issues. So Hamani Ploni Hisha Shamanu B'Makamachir O'Makach. Oh, this Gemara over here is difficult, but this Gemara is following that opinion because he knows about the Machlokas, because he knows the Mishnayos. So, again, it's an intuitive Rashi. It's a you would say it's almost common sense, but somebody who is really able to articulate and understand Torah is somebody who has breadth of understanding of Mishnayos. And Kari Rav Yosef Anafshei, just finishing up the Gemara over here, Rav Yosef said regarding himself, Rav Tvus Bechor Shor, right, that he amassed for himself a number of Mishnayos, meaning Tosfos points out over here, we know the fundamental question of what's better, Oka Harim or Sinai, meaning is it better to have a piercing analysis or is it better to have a Bekiyas, a breath of knowledge? So Rav Yosef said that Sinai, that having the breath of knowledge is better. And fitting in perfectly over here, so Rav Yosef said that that's him. In other words, that's a description of him. And also Bechor Shur, by the way, Tosfos points out, is a reference to Yosef, Rav Yosef's namesake. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. We are halfway down on Membez Amid Aleph. We are Echad Amar B'Shei Sha'os, V'chulei. So the Gemara is now commenting not on the heading that we just quoted, but further in the Mishnah. Amar Shimei Barashu Loshanu Al Sha'os, Aval Echad Amar Kodem HaNetzachama, V'Echad Amar Lachar HaNetzachama, Idusam B'Tela. In the Mishnah, we learn that if there's a one-hour discrepancy between two witnesses, where one witness said it happened 2 hours into the day, and the other one said 3 hours into the day, they weren't wearing watches, their telling of the time was based on where the sun was located, it's fine. Meaning that's an allowable error. Okay, but, says the Gemara, if one said it happened immediately before sunrise and the other one said it happened immediately after sunrise, now that the difference in time could be just a couple of minutes, but still, it's empirical. You know if the sun rose or did not rise. And so it's therefore not an allowable error. And we're going to dismiss the testimony. Now the Gemara says Peshitta. Now the Gemara says, now quite frankly, it's obvious. Meaning even though it's a couple of minutes that separated their time, but because it's empirically known whether the sun did or did not rise, so therefore it's not an allowable error. So the Gemara says, and that's kind of obvious. So why would you even need to say it? So the Gemara actually now would like to amplify the Chiddush. So one is saying that it happened before sunrise, and the other one said it happened during sunrise. So the Gemara says, that's also not an allowable error. So Anami Peshitta, but the Gemara says, but that too is obvious. Meaning again, it's empirical. You look out of the horizon. Did the sun come out yet? It's either yes or no. It's binary. So if one person can't say it happened before sunrise, and the other one said, oh, it was during sunrise, it's just not an allowable error. So the Gemara says, Mao detema habiguluye kai vizarui ba'amahu dechaza kamash malan. The Gemara says, well, even here, we could try to excuse this discrepancy. What we could suggest is that the one who was saying it was during sunrise, maybe really it was before sunrise. And all he was actually seeing were just simply rays of the sun. But in other words, and he confused that with sunrise. Maybe we could say that. And now the Kamashwan, the Chiddush says, no, we're not going to say that. Meaning if one is saying it's before and the other one is saying it's during or after, it's just simply not an allowable error. We're dismissing the case. Continuing in the Gemara, also Ayom Vesulo. Now, you have a student. Remember, we described three rows of students standing in front of the bench. And if one of the students is going to make a good point, so what did we learn in our Mishnah? Yeah, right, elevated. Right, he gets a promotion. And he goes up to the bench and he sits there for the rest of the day. Now, the Gemara says, now for the rest of the day, what do you mean? He should get a full-time promotion. The Gemara quotes a braisa. If he made a really exceptional point, so he would go up. He would go up there, and he would not come down, and he would get a full time promotion. Okay, and that's it. Now, quite frankly, just full disclosure. Does that mean now he's a participating member of the Beis Din with full rights and status of the Beis Din? In other words, now the Beis Din is no longer an even number. I'm sorry, an odd number. I can't imagine that means that we're going to just take a member of the Beis Din and excuse him because, hey, we gave somebody a promotion. And look, I know you weren't planning on retirement, but hey, early retirement for you. In other words, I'm not quite sure. This is just full disclosure on my part. I'm not quite sure what that means that he's going to get a full-time promotion. And what does that do in terms of the numbers? I'm not sure. But, okay, but here's what I do know for sure. The Braisa tells us that a student who made an exceptional point gets a full-time promotion, and that's not like our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that he only gets a promotion for the rest of today. However, if he makes not an exceptional point, right, we're being nice in the way we're saying it, if he's making not an exceptional point, so here's what we'll do. We'll put him up for the rest of today, but we won't take him down because that's embarrassing, and we don't want to embarrass him. So we'll keep him up there for the rest of today, and hopefully by tomorrow everyone's forgotten. Okay, that yesterday he was sitting up on the bench. So, okay, which I know we won't forget, but in other words, it will not be a very clear embarrassment to the person. So, Amar Abaye Tirgama Aim Ein Mamash B'Dvarav. So the Gemara says, fine, but in terms of resolving our Mishnah, it's very simple. When the Mishnah is describing how he's only going to go for today, that's talking about the student who made a not exceptional point. So that's what the Mishnah is describing. But if he made a good point, and it was a good Svara, so he gets a full-time promotion. Matzalah Zchus. Now, in the Mishnah, we talked about how during deliberation and over the night and for the next day, no wine. Now, when we say no wine, we mean not even a taste, nothing. Meaning, as Tosfos here points out, if you're drinking Revius Yayin and you are intoxicated, right, you're above the level, the blood alcohol level is high, you can't pass in on any halacha. Meaning, leave out of sight of capital crime. You can't even do Issa V'Heter. Over here, what we're saying is no wine, zero, right? No, zero tolerance. So matzal is chuk. So yain my time alo. Am Rav Acha, Rabbi Chanina, Amakra, Ula Rose name Ishechar. Gemara quotes another pasuk from Mishlei, and the pasuk says that for Rose name, for those who are delving into the secrets of the world, Ishechar, no wine. So Auskim Berazu Sholam Al Yishtakru. That those who are dealing with the secrets of the world, when you're dealing with literally life and death, so that's the Raz HaOlam, the secrets of the world. Right, we're all, I don't mean to sound fluffy, but we're all like hidden secrets. Every one of us, we're Razo Sha'olam, with the secrets of the world. So when dealing with the life and death situation, so simply no wine, and it's, in other words, not a review, less than a review, it's nothing. Okay. Reading now the heading of the, we don't find this that often, that the heading is in parentheses, but the Gemara is going to be commenting on a different portion of the Mishnah. That's why these words are in parentheses. Anyway, lo ra'umai. Here's the question now. We got to 23, and it was deadlocked at 11, 12. 12 said guilty, 11 said innocent. So we can't rule. Meaning for a guilt conviction, for conviction, you need a majority of minimum of two. So the Mishnah told us what we're going to do now. We're going to keep adding two by two. Two judges at a time. Hopefully, what the two judges are going to do is going to side in one direction, and then that'll tip the scale. But if the two judges split, the next two judges split, and that keeps going until you get to the number 71, so the Mishnah says, so now what do we do? So basically, guys, do me a favor. Sit here in the courtroom, work it out. One of you is going to have to change your viewpoint. But Gemara now is going to ask, that only gets us to a conclusion if somebody changes their viewpoint. What if nobody's changing their viewpoint? Here we go with the Gemara. Lo ra'umai. So we're now at 71, and we're still deadlocked, and nobody wants to budge on their opinion. Nobody has to. Everyone's very comfortable with their viewpoint. Nobody wants to budge. What do we do? Am Rav Acha potrin oso, v'chein Am Rav Yochanan potrin oso. So the Gemara quotes the name of Amorayim, parenthetically, by the way, the Amorayim of the day, Rav Acha, Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Amorayim. Okay, so in other words, case dismissed. And so you ask the question, is there ever a dismissal in the court of law? So yeah, the answer is going to be yes. We don't want a dismissal of the case. We want a resolution. We want a verdict. But there is going to become a point in time where we go through the entire due process like we just described. And yeah, we got to 35, 36. 36 are ready to convict, 35 are ready to acquit, and we're looking for somebody to change their viewpoint. The Gemara doesn't tell us how long we're going to work on trying to get someone to change, but we tried. Nobody wants to change, so dismissal.
It's an acquittal, basically.
Right. But it's an acquittal, but not through a verdict. Right.
What kind of case is it?
No, capital case. So yeah, in a monetary case, we're going to start with three, and we're going to vote, and we're going to end up with a verdict. We're always going to end up with a verdict. But in a capital case, however, because of the requirement of a two-person majority, so we can end off in a deadlock, like we just described. So Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye V'Liftere Mikara. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, so really, so in other words, we got all the way to the point here just to get to a deadlock and just to get to a dismissal of the case. You could have done that a long time ago. You didn't have to go through the whole process just to get to a deadlock. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we don't want it. meaning, yes, it was a dismissal. Yes, it was at a deadlock. And yes, we had no choice but to dismiss the case. But we don't want that. It's embarrassing for Beis Din to get to this point in time. That's why we go through the whole process. Meaning at 23 judges when it was 11-12. So we'd prefer not it to become a deadlock. So therefore, we're going to add two, we're going to add another two, et cetera, et cetera. Because we didn't want to get to this point in time. We're here, okay, we're at an impasse. But the reason why we went through the whole process is because we didn't want the impasse. It's embarrassing. Igad Amri. Now, the Gemara has a slightly different version of how this discussion went. Amli Rapabala Bayev Alamili Yosifu. Lifter may be Dina Kama. Now, in the second version of the dialogue, look, we're going to end up in a deadlock anyway. And we're going to dismiss the case anyway. So do it at 23. And when we say do it at 23, what we mean is, at 23, don't add any more judges. In other words, the court ends here. The case ends here. See if somebody can change their viewpoint at 23. And if no one can, so then just dismiss.
How do you know that?
So, okay. So, Amar Le, Rav Yossi Kai Kavasech. So, he says, look, our Mishnah clearly does not subscribe to that viewpoint. Our Mishnah clearly wants us to keep adding two more judges. Again, with the hope, like you just described, that the two will side in one direction. And then we will have a verdict. But if you want to know the truth, there is a Tana that agrees with you, and that's Rav Yossi. The Tanya Rav Yossi Omer Kishem Shem Mosif and Al Beis and Al Shivim Ve'Echad Kachem Mosif and Al Beis and Shel Esrim V'Shlosha. So fine. So there is a viewpoint like that, that once the Beis is at 23, it's locked at 23. If you have a 12-11 vote, 12 convicting, 11 quitting, so now we're not going to add judges, and what are we going to do? We will try to have one of them change their viewpoint. And if not, then we're going to dismiss the case. Tanu Rabbanan Omer Bedina Mamnos Nizdakin Adin Main Omer Dina Nefashos Nizdakin Adin. Okay. Now, there's a declaration made at the end of a civil case, which is Nizdakin Adin. We're not going to make that declaration at the end of a capital case. It would be helpful to us to know what those words mean. And then we'd understand why say that by a civil case, why not say that by a criminal case? So my Nizdakin Adin. Ilema Kashdina, so maybe Nizdakin Adin means from the word kash. Now kash means, let's take this slow. This is really difficult. Meaning basically, you now have the head of the court basically saying, we sweated this one out. This wasn't easy. So then, I don't understand. So then, when should you be making this declaration? Not at the end of a civil case. You should be making this declaration at the end of a capital case, where basically the judges say, this was really hard. We really took our time over here. A civil case, in other words, it's money. I don't want to belittle, but it's just money. Why, if anything, this declaration should be made at the end of a capital case. So I'm Ravuna Bar Menoch Mishmei Rav Acha Bar Rav Ika Epoch. So the Gemara says, okay, meaning our explanation of Nizdakin Adin is right, and in terms of when to say it, so flip it around. Meaning you'll say it after a capital case, you'll not say it after a civil case. So Rav Ashi Amar La'olam Lo Tepach. Rav Ashi says, no, don't flip it around. Meaning, we're saying Nizdakin Adin on a civil case, not a capital case. We're just going to reinterpret what it means. Umay Nizdakin Adin Chacham Dina. Nizdakin Adin is basically a pronouncement of, we got it right. So, okay, now, it's basically a pat on the back. Like, and the Gemara in a moment is just going to say, really, you should have the Beis Din patting themselves on the back? For reasons which we're going to explain, yeah, you're going to have the Beis Din patting themselves on the back. So Nizdakin Adin means, from the word Zakein, meaning this was smart. Meaning it came out good. After a civil case, say it. Don't say it after a capital case. Now, say it in a civil case for the following reason. Again, it's just money. And we want both litigants to know we got this one right. Meaning if imagine in a civil case where the Beis Din says, we think this is the right answer. So the losing party is going to say, I'm going to have to pay him now because you think you got it right? It doesn't instill the proper confidence. In a capital case, however, we don't want to say Nizdakin Adin because, as Rashi points out over here, because what we want is any chance possible for a reversal of the decision, especially if it's a conviction, not especially. In the case of a conviction, we want there to be a reversal of the decision. We don't want an execution. I keep saying again and again, if we have to, we will. But we don't want an execution.
So for the pronouncement after the verdict of Nizdak and Adin, it's not appropriate by a capital case, because the truth of the matter is, as we're going to be discussing in the Amud Beis, we do want a reversal if possible. Meisvei, Gemara challenges. Gadol shebadayin amar Nizdak and Adin. Who makes this pronouncement at the end of the case? So the head of the Beis Din. So Iyamar Bishlam Chacham Dina Hainu Damer Gadol. Now if it's a pat on the back, so the Gemara says, I understand. Yeah, the head of the Beis Din is going to say it. But if it's basically like, oh, we sweated this out, I'm not really sure, this was really hard, you want the head of the basin to make that proclamation? And to which the Gemara says, yeah, actually you do, in. Gemara says, and it's such a smart life lesson, and that is that basically it's better to criticize yourself than have other people criticize you. Other people criticizing you, that's embarrassing. You basically say at the end, look, this was really hard. I think I got the right answer. I'm not sure. It was really hard. We sweated it out. It diffuses the situation. It basically now says that, look, it's a pronouncement of, we tried our best. I don't know if we got it right, but we definitely tried our best. Now, Igadami, Amar Bishlam Akashtina, Hainu De'enu Dama, Mizbash Me'atzmo, Mizbash Me'achirim. Now, in this second version, it's going to be the same point. We're just amplifying the other side of it. Look, if it's the head of the basin saying, we sweat it out, like we just explained, better the head of the basin to say it than other people criticizing. But if the pshat of Nizdak and Adin is a pat on the back, you really want the head of the basin to pat himself and the rest of the basin on the back, we did a good job today. Like, that was really good. Vaksiv, the Gemara quotes another pasuk from Mishle. A lot of Mishle today. Yalu chazar v'lo picha. Let other people praise you. Do not sound your own horn. Pasuk of Mishle. So how can we now ask the head of the Beis Din to pat himself on the back publicly, saying we did a good job? So the Gemara says shani milsa de beidina da gadol ramya. So the Gemara says, look, in general, don't sound your own horn. Let other people praise you. But in terms of the head of the Beis Din, there's a purpose in doing so. The head of the Beis Din, he's the one ultimately responsible. He's the one pronouncing the verdict. Kidnam, we learned in the Mishnah. We learned it back in the Mishnah. Gamar sodavar, ein machnisen, sorry. Hayu machnisen osan gadol shebadayanim, omer ishponi ata zakai, ishponi ata chayev. Remember, it's the head of the Beis Din that's going to be pronouncing the verdict. And to provide confidence, like I described a couple of moments ago. And to provide confidence to the people, to the participants of the case, the litigants of the case, the basin got it right. It's a civil case, so let the head of the basin, who's coming out with the verdict, say, and oh, by the way, this is right, this is correct, providing confidence to the two litigants that this is the right conclusion. Hadron lecha yibotkin. That is the end of the fifth parak. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow with the beginning of the sixth paragraph.